turning in your Bible with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, as we continue looking at this amazing book given to the Apostle John while he was on the Isle of Patmos, revealing to us Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus. That's the revealing of Jesus Christ. We know that he ascended up to heaven to be at his Father's right hand over 2,000 years ago. This book shows us what he has been doing, is doing, and is going to be doing in the future. So we want to pick up there at verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And John the Apostle said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, we mentioned last Sunday, we know the events that are going to take place in our near future. There is going to be what we consider a rapture and a resurrection. Jesus Christ is going to return. It'll be the first phase of His second coming. He will return in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise. Those which are alive shall be caught up together, and we will meet Christ in the cloud. After that event takes place, issues in then what is known as the tribulation period, or Daniel's 70th week, or what is called Jacob's trouble. It will be a seven-year period of three major series of judgment that God puts upon this world. During that 7 years, we were introduced to the Antichrist and also the false prophet, which will be mainly your two voices and leaders against God during the tribulation period. And for 7 years, they will seem to like have their way, but we know at the end of that 7 years, the second phase of the second coming of Christ will occur, and Jesus Christ will return with his armies from heaven to this earth, and there he will battle the Antichrist and the false prophet and their armies. He will overcome them. The false prophet, the Antichrist, will be cast into the lake of fire, and then Jesus will establish and set up his kingdom. We looked at that last week. There will be at the end of the tribulation period, then we'll go into a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Now, during this time, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit. The saints will be resurrected, those that died during the tribulation period, the Old Testament martyrs. The saints will rule and reign with Jesus for that 1,000 years here. At the end of it, which is amazing to me, God will release Satan from that bottomless pit. He will gather the rebellious populace of the world from the four corners of the earth, and they will try to fight against Christ once again there at the city of Jerusalem where he reigns and against his saints, and God just simply rains fire down from heaven and ends that battle. So we got all that going on. Now, what we're looking at now in verse 11 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation is the great white throne judgment. This is the event that will take place after that 1,000-year millennial reign. I've heard people tell me before, "I just want my day in court. I just want to be able to tell my side of the story." Well, all the lost of all the ages will have their day in court, and it will be at the great white throne judgment. They will stand there. They will plead their cause against the holy God, and then God will give judgment upon them. Now, this message this morning is intended for two purposes. Number one, if you're lost here, I hope I can scare you into salvation. Amen. I hope you'll see where what your end place is going to be. But for those of us that are saved here, there's no greater story or message or thought of the great white throne that should instill upon us the necessity of reaching people for Christ. If we could get two glimpses into the spiritual realm, I believe if we could see the lid of hell just slid back for a moment and hear the screams of those who are agonizing there, or if we could stand and see this great white throne event fixing to take place, it would move us to witness to people. Amen. What excuse could we give not to? You see, I believe that's why we have it recorded here in God's holy word. I want to look at the great white throne judgment with those two thoughts in mind. If you're lost, you need to be saved. You don't want to end up here. And for those of us that are saved, we need to share Christ with all who are lost, that they do not end up here. So let's look at the setting that takes place there in verses 11 and 12. We got the background here. John said, "And I saw a great white throne." Now, I'm sure John has seen other thrones in his life. He probably had heard about Caesar's throne. He may have seen thrones there that were in Jerusalem, but he's identifying a throne here. He says, "I saw a great white throne." This is God's courtroom. This is the bench upon which God Almighty sits, and John gets to see it here. What a terrible fact when you think about it. Of all the great thrones that are mentioned in the Bible, Solomon had one built out of ivory. There was nothing like it in the world. They do not compare to this one. Those who see this one will be amazed. It's the great white throne. What's so great about it? Maybe the size of it. I don't know how big it's going to be. God's pretty big, I think. When you think of the splendor of it, when you think of the service of what's going to be carried out here, when you think about the sentence that's going to be given, and even the one that's sitting upon it, that's why it's so great. I mean, it captivated John's attention so much that he had to add that word. He could have said, "I saw a white throne," but he doesn't there. He says, "I saw a great white throne." Wow. Those that stand before this throne will be stripped of all their pretense and pride. This will be no joking matter when you come before this throne. I've seen people in court situations down here on earth to where they're sitting there and the judge is on the bench and they're laughing, they're cutting out, they're cutting up. There's not going to be any of that. This will be a serious setting. I'm reminded of a time when I was in court. Not being judged, I was just there kind of supporting nine men who had been caught doing something wrong that they shouldn't have been doing wrong. They were illegal deer hunters, and they got caught, and they had to go before a judge there in Wiggins, Mississippi. And we kind of knew the outcome of what the verdict was going to be, because just prior to that court date, we elected the new judge. So we knew what the outcome was going to be. And everybody was joking as they were going into the courthouse, all that. But when that judge walked in and the bell had banged on that thing and said, "All right, for the judge," we got serious. I wasn't even being judged. I was about four pews back and my heart went, "Bloop, this is really serious." Can you imagine when those who come before this great white throne, all those who have laughed and mocked and ridiculed and rejected Christ, if you're here and you're lost, there will be no fooling around. You see, this is a great white throne. What a terrible fact. But notice also the figure. It says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it." Not the lamb that was slain, but the lion that's going to rule. Jesus Christ will be seated upon this throne. All judgment, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 22, is given unto the Son of the Father. I mean, I wonder if the lost that stand at this great white throne, as they peer at the one sitting here, I wonder if they'll see the nail scars in his hand. Will they see the effects of what the cross cost him? When you really understand those that denied and cursed and rebelled and mocked him, when they see him, The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You'll either do it through salvation or you're going to bow at this great white throne. You will fall upon your knees when you see Him that sits upon it. He will get your attention there. And then notice what takes place. This is such a fearful sight and setting. And it says, and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. The very glory of this place and the one that sits upon it. You see, for those of us that are saved, the glory of God is something to be wowed about. But when those that come before this throne see Him in all His glory, it will be agony. It will be coming before their judge and their punisher. I remember when we get in trouble as kids, it wasn't so much the whipping that I regretted or feared. It was just coming and sitting, and Daddy would put a chair right out in the middle of the room. He would sit on it, and he'd call all of us because he knew we were all guilty. You know, it just, all you kids get in here and line up. And man, we'd all lie. We'd be joking going in, and then he'd be sitting on his throne in the middle of that living room, and we knew, look, it's just seeing His face, knowing that, things is fixing to get serious. It says it's so serious that the earth and the heavens fled away. You see, the very defiled earth and heaven that mankind has left here, you see, one day that's all going to have to be made new. Even the heavens and the earth will flee from this terrible sight. There is nowhere for anyone to hide. See, man thinks they can hide from their sins, hide their sins away, hide from God. Listen, if you're lost, you're not going to hide. There's no place you're going to end up to where you're not going to be found out and you're going to stand before this place. There'll be no room for excuse, just a paralyzing fear. Can you imagine if you were lost and you come before God on this throne and you see Him as He is? That would just paralyze me. You ever been in a dream and something chasing you? You know how you can't run? You just stand there shaking and trembling, or you just fall down and you can't crawl off. That's how it's going to be. Folks, there are so many in the world today, they're headed there. And that should bother me and you. It should cause us to realize that there's a great white throne that the lost is going to stand before. And it'll be too late then. Notice who is called to this throne. He says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The small and great, the dead, the lost of all ages will stand before Him. The Hitlers, the Saddams, the mass murderers. It'll be the little old ladies, the little grandpas and grandma, the boys and girls, the young teenagers, every individual, in spite of age, that came to that account of knowing about grace and rejected it will stand before God, the small and great. No one will be exempt. There again, every lost sinner will come to this place. And that bothers me. Because the Word of God tells me that the road to hell is broad and wide and many go therein. Narrow and straight is the way into life eternal. Only a few go. There's more going to end up at this judgment than those that are going to stand before Christ at His judgment seat for His saved. So that should bother me. So we got the dead, small and great. And then notice what happens in verse 12. We see the background, the setting, the throne, Him that sits upon it, those who are called to stand before Him. And then it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I believe there are three books that are kind of alluded to here. There is the book of life of the Lamb that has the names written of all those who have been saved by the grace of God. I like to think that maybe my name is pinned down in His own blood there. When I put my faith in Him on that Friday night in that little trailer in Van Cleve, Mississippi, and I said, Lord, please forgive me and save me. You know what happened? He wrote my name down in the Lamb's book of life. put it there where it'd be permanent. You know, it was a permanent marker. Couldn't be erased. Still there, Brother Randy. One day he'll call out my name and my name will be in that book. But he mentioned some other books here. He says the books were open. Maybe the 66 books of the Bible. Maybe the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is what's going to judge people. All our sins will come under light. All those that stand there at the great white throne judgment, all those that make their excuses and their pretenses, all their reasoning will be judged by the book. These 66 books of the Bible. And then there is a book of works. The acts and deeds of individuals. Job said it like this. Job said in the Old Testament, my record is on high. God's word said we'll give an account for every idle word we spoke. This is the most sombering thought, that every action, every word, every deed that we do is being recorded. God's great video has captured all of it. Not only what I've done, what I've said, but I believe even what I've thought. How frightening is that? Now, I'm glad that all my evil deeds and thoughts and actions have been washed in the blood. Amen. How terrible for me to have to stand before this throne and all that open. You stand there and say, God, well, I was a pretty good person. He'll say, bring up day number 4, hour 2, and push button and just let them see. All the sins and everything that we've done. There again, the book of works. There's a record. There'll be no excuse. What excuse you going to give God on that day when you stand before Him and He's your judge? Well, Lord, there were so many hypocrites in church, I didn't want to go to church. The Christians were so wishy-washy, I didn't want to listen to their message. Or listen, I was taught in school that you didn't exist. What excuse will you give? Every excuse that is given at that great white throne will be met with, thus saith the Word of God. Our actions, their actions will be revealed, their words, their life. He said, according as they lived. So books are going to be open. And I dare say that when that book of the Lamb of Life is open and God says, what's your name? Well, I'm Brother John Doe. Well, John Doe, you're not written in the book. Your name's not in the Lamb Book of Life. There's a song that we used to sing at one time, please search the book again. I thought my name was within. There are people going to stand at this great white throne, and you know what? They think by just being a member of a church, their name was written there. They're going to say, well, I was baptized. I went to church every Sunday. I was there on Wednesday night. Lord, you saw how much money I put in the offering plate. I was a good person. I helped my neighbor. And God's going to say, your name is not written in the Lamb Book of Life. Because you was never saved by grace through faith. Is your name written in His book? If it isn't, you're going to be judged according to the 66 books of the Bible. His word will judge you. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead, that's the lost, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. There's going to be a summons. All the lost of all the ages will be summoned to this judgment hall. God gives a summons. You will obey it. He called a dead. Jesus called a dead man. He summons a dead man. He called Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Everybody thought it would be a mockery and a foolish thing to do. You know what happened? Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine when God says, bring all the lost of all the ages and stand them before me? A summons will go out, and every grave will give up the lost dead, the sea, death and hell, every lost person. There again, nowhere to hide. There was a lady I read about. She built her an eternal tomb, a place where she would be forever. She always wanted to be in this tomb. She said, it will keep me encompassed and encased forever, and nothing can ever happen to me after death as long as I'm in there. She spent all this elaborate money and had it built, and just years later, a tree root bore its way into it and broke her eternal tomb. Where are you going to hide from God? Let me ask you. Where can you run to? You run to the heavens, He's there. You run to the depths of hell, He sees you there. You go to the deepest sea, the Bible says He knows where you're at. See, you're not going to hide from Him. You may try to hide from Him right now, but you're not even hiding from Him right now. You will be summoned to this throne, and all will come before Him. And the Bible says, be judged. Imagine that scene. I'm warped in my imagination. I try to imagine things that happen in the Bible. Now, let's just picture for a minute. It says that the death and hell will give up the dead that were in it. So all of a sudden, all the lost are summoned before God. What will they look like? Will it be in decayed bodies? Will the maggots and the worms be hanging on the rotting flesh? Will the stench be encompassing them? I mean, have you ever imagined in your mind what they're going to look like when they stand there before God? And have you ever thought about what they're going to be saying when they hear that final judgment? When the Word of God tells us there in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death. The books will be open. The lost will be judged. They will be shown that they're sinful. They rejected Christ. And then the sentence is going to be given. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Depart from me. I don't know you. Will be the word. That will be the final words that they hear. Cast them into the lake of fire. It doesn't say gently plunge them into it. That's the word that means to throw, to disregard, to just get rid of. You see, I know the last words they will hear will depart from me. I never knew you. But I wonder what will be their last words that are spoken. Oh, no. Please, God, please. Help me, help me. All too late. I wonder how many young people be crying out for mom and dad then. How many dads might be crying out for their children. How many will be standing there thinking, why didn't I listen to the preacher? Why I didn't believe the Word of God? Why I didn't trust in Christ? I mean, what will they be saying? There'll be no appeals. You can't appeal this. There's going to be no leniency, no pardon. There's going to be a time when God says, you know what? I've changed my mind. No, they're cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Wow, how tragic. I can't even comprehend how that must feel. Or what it'll be like on that day. But it's going to happen. Because the Bible tells us here in chapter 20, after the millennial kingdom, that there will be a great white throne judgment. And all the dead, the lost, will stand before Almighty God. You don't have to go to this place. Amen. It's senseless to be at this judgment when all you got to do is accept what Jesus Christ did. God don't want you to be here. He's not willing that any should perish. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know the verses. He sends His Holy Spirit to use His Word to convict hearts. We've been there that saved. We know what it feels like when you realize you're guilty before God and you're sinful and you're hopeless and you got to accept Him and you cry out. That's God loving you through conviction. You might be here this morning, that's you. You see, you got one or two choices this morning. If God's Holy Spirit's convicting you, you yield to that conviction and trust Christ. Or you harden your heart and say, I don't believe none of that. Maybe another day. Maybe when I'm through just living the way I want to live. See, you can make that decision. You can take that chance. You don't know if you got another day. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave this building this morning. I pray you have a good day, but you know what? You could seal your eternity if you walk out those doors and still in rejection of Christ and you lose your life. you'll find yourself one day at the great white throne judgment. You see, I believe, why is this in the Bible? Why is this great white throne in the setting and all the sentencing? And why is it here? I think the very reason it's here is that God wants you to be saved. This very moment is the reason that God sent His Word to man, that we might know Him. This very moment is the reason that God sends His Holy Spirit to convict people. This very moment is the reason that God sent Jesus Christ. This very moment is the reason that He died the way He did for each and every one of us. This very moment, so that you don't end up here. The question is your name written in the book? If the roll call was taken this morning, would you hear God call your name out of His book of the saved? Or will you be summoned with all the lost and the damned of all the ages before this great throne room? That's the only decision you can make. I know what I've done. I've heard some of you testify what you've did. But folks, it doesn't matter what I've done and what they've done. What have you done? It will be you standing alone at this judgment. It won't be no joking. Well, my friends are there. We're going to party. No, it won't be no party time. This will be the most awful fate that you ever encounter if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's going to be a millennial, but then there's going to be a great white throne judgment for all the lost. Don't end up there. If you end up there, chapter 21 really has no meaning for you. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Wow, there's going to, for the saved, for those who are Christ, it's going to be an amazing time. But for you, to be lost through eternity, with no chance, no hope, no pardon, nothing but just torment through eternity. Why would you want to go there? This is checkup time. I'm serious, folks. It's more than just coming to church. If you can't go back in your past and you can't find that moment where you were convicted and that you cried out to Christ to forgive you and save you, you're lost. I don't care what pretense you try to make. I don't care who you have fooled. You may have fooled even yourself into believing that you're okay. But if you have never been saved by the grace of God, you're lost and you're headed to this place if that doesn't change. So make your decision this morning. Bow your heads. Brother Bob, Sister Stephanie. The reason is to show the lost this setting so that they might be fearful, that they may make a decision for Christ.